Hello, welcome back to the Balancing Act podcast. This is your host, Abby, and today we're doing a fun little episode. I'm going to be talking about and sharing with you the 23 things that I've learned in my 23 years. So with the year coming to an end, and to what I think to be the fastest year to ever happen, which makes sense because as you get older, the years go faster and the days go by slower. And I am the oldest I've ever been right now in this moment. So with December coming, I thought we could wrap up the year by doing 23 things I have learned throughout my life, my 23 glorious years, to say the least. So let's jump right into it because we do have a long list. Acting like I'm 100 years old. Okay, so number one I have, change is the hardest thing, but the most important thing. Now, I don't know about you, I absolutely hate change. Change to me is the scariest thing on the planet. I don't do well with change, I panic over change. Change just throws me into a spiral, and it can be the smallest thing, whether I remember coming back home from college, every time we would have a break, and just adjusting to a new schedule has always been a very difficult thing for me to do. I don't know if it's just because my sleep gets messed up, or my routine. It's definitely my routine. I'm very habitual with my stuff, so when I don't have the ability to do stuff in an order, and the way that I like to do it, it dysregulates me and I get overwhelmed. So recognizing it that change may be hard, but change needs to happen in order to get somewhere new. And the discomfort is all part of the process, and it will lead you down to a beautiful path of whatever your next goal is, or I don't even know what to say. Your next adventure. That's a good way to put it. Number two is don't judge a book by its cover. Now, you guys all know what this means. You've been told this since you were little. Don't judge a book by its cover because it's what's on the inside that counts. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, but it's true. And as a person, we all judge each other. It's human nature. Whether it's on purpose or it's not on purpose, and I mean, you can do inner work to reframe the judgment that you place onto others as well as yourself, because that is just as if not more important. But not judging a book by its cover gives you the opportunity to have more growth mindset and to welcome new and uncomfortable and unfamiliar things into your life. And that's not just people. That can be an activity, it can be a hobby, it can be a challenge or a new social group, a new school, a new education, any learning experience. Not judging a book by its cover just because it seems intimidating, just because it seems scary. There's so much on the other side of that wall that will open up just so many opportunities for yourself. And by limiting yourself to just what's comfortable, won't always get you to where you want to go. And this leads me to number three, which is to say yes to new experiences. You never know unless you try. Now, this one I relate to a lot. I love spontaneity and like trying new things and putting myself out there. And I've learned that over this year, I have really, really taken on that role. Just doing new activities that I never would have pictured myself doing. I rode on a motorcycle this year, guys. And I don't know if you know me, you know I don't like taking like life-risking risks. But I'll tell you that the adrenaline is real. Will I get back on one ever? Slim to none. But it was an experience. It was new, and I am happy. I'm happy I did it, and I'm happy I survived, say the least. The next one is number four, which is to be gentle with yourself. Now, this is hard when you want to tell your friends and you are gentle with your friends and you're calm with them and you're cool, calm, collected. But then when you talk to yourself, you're never as gentle. We're very, I don't know what word to use. Aggressive maybe would be a good one. Oftentimes I feel like our self-talk is so different than how we talk to others. And just being gentle with yourself, meeting yourself where you are at, and taking every day with a grain of salt and not putting all these impossible expectations and unattainable expectations on yourself. Because once you do that, then it just leads to more disappointment. If you're setting all these things up for yourself that you want to do and you're not meeting them because it's just too much on your plate, you would tell your friend, hey, take it one step at a time. Let's break down these tasks. Let's look at it from a big picture. Let's just zoom out and look at this from a different perspective, a different lens. But somehow that becomes a challenge for ourselves because we put ourselves on a pedestal. And we expect so much from ourselves when we really are just like everybody else. We can only manage so much at once. So definitely being gentle with yourself, meeting yourself where you're at, and just accepting the place you're in right now and not expecting too much out of yourself at once. Now, number five, which is one that I remind myself every single day, especially recently, that you have already lived through 100% of your hardest days. And people may say, no, that's not true. Like, I've had so many terrible days. Like, it was just awful. Okay. But you're listening to this podcast, right? Right? You can hear my voice. You're here. You're alive. You made it through every obstacle and every challenge that you didn't think you'd be able to overcome and see it from the other side. And this isn't saying that you've recovered from any challenge and every challenge you've ever experienced, because I definitely cannot say that I have. But we're here. We're breathing. We are hopefully at a little bit more peace than we were during the challenge, but we did persevere. We are resilient. We made it through. And reminding yourself of that every minute that goes by just really allows you to reflect on how much you have overcome and gone through and found strengths in yourself and used your toolbox of skills and resources, whether you've developed them yourself or got them from a therapist or a friend or a parent, guardian, whoever, a mentor. Every challenge you've ever faced and 100% of the hardest days in your life, you have persevered and gone through. And I commend you for that. So going off of that, for number six, I have, you cannot change your past. You can only prepare for your future. Now, I'm sure we all have things that we say we regret. Like, I regret getting those piercings. They all got infected and I had to take them out. That was such a waste of money. Or I regret getting this college degree. I'm not even using it. Blah, blah, blah. Or I regret dating this person. Like, it was so bad and we're not even together anymore. So what was the point? But listen, everything that you've done in your life has led you to this point. And whether you regret anything or you wish something happened a different way, it has all led you to where you are now. And all we can do from here is prepare for what we want to see in our future. And that's up to us. It is up to how we want to approach this next phase of our life. And dwelling on the past will only get us so far, and I understand there's many different implications and factors that influence our ability to overcome and move on and have the privilege to only focus on our future. But the recognizing that, and if you are in a position where you can say to yourself and radically accept, I have gone through what I've gone through, it has brought me to where I am right now, and I owe myself the peace of mind knowing that I can control my next steps and I can prepare better for my future so that I don't either make the same mistakes I did in the past, or you can set yourself up for success in the ways that you would like to see yourself in the future. Number 7 is to stay curious. I love asking questions. I love being in people's business, to a certain extent. I like knowing details. You know, I see this a lot where you ask your partner, you're like, hey, like, you got that hot gossip, like, what went on? And they say, oh, yeah, this happened, but I didn't ask any questions. Huh? Because I can't relate to that. I want to know everything. If something's going on, please, I'm the first one to ask what's going on. Maybe that's the clinician in training in me, where I want to know all the details. I want to analyze this. I want to understand. I want to have a full picture. But that just shows how interested you are in the world and in people's experiences, and it shows how much you care and how you're not self-absorbed. You want to be in the know. You want to know what's going on here, what's going on there. You want to be aware of your surroundings, and you want to better understand people and just socialize and figure out how other people live and the experiences other people have, and just build this rapport with other people around you, your peers, and try things that are new that you haven't experienced, and really just take on everything the world has to offer. And I think that that has helped me get myself out there and try new things, more than a lot of other stuff, you know? Number 8 is set boundaries. I'm going to say that again. Set boundaries. Boundaries are hard to set. They are uncomfortable. They're challenging. They're intimidating. They're scary. They are utterly scary. And when you have conducted yourself in a way that people know the patterns that you exhibit and they have these expectations from you, and kind of they start to feed off of that and take advantage of that. But once you mention and state your personal boundaries, whether it's too mentally taxing, too physically taxing, or you just don't want to do something or have something in your life, you have the autonomy to say, hey, for this reason, and this reason, or no reasons at all, you can say, I am no longer going over to Aunt Jane's house anymore. I actually don't want to go to that party. I don't want to drink. I don't drink. I am tired. I'm not going to make it to that event. And these are just different examples of setting boundaries, as small or as large as you can imagine. They're all valuable. They're all important. They all have their place in your life to make sure that you are comfortable and living the life that you want to live. And nobody should have these expectations of you to do something you are utterly uncomfortable with. We all have the choice to say, hey, this isn't working for me. This isn't healthy for me. And for those reasons, I have to put up these boundaries, put up these walls for whatever reason to maintain your peace and to preserve your well-being. Okay, 9, I love this one. you are not lame or quote-unquote wasting time by staying in. Now, I would not have had the same opinion if you asked me 4 years ago. Because let me tell you, I got the whole party girl out of me through college. And I was the last one to stay in most days. But I don't know if this is maturity or laziness or just being exhausted from adulting, you know. I love staying in. I don't want to go to that club. I actually don't want to be shoved in a room with 2,000 people paying $20 for a shot of well vodka and talking to my friends, but not being able to hear it because the house music is way too loud and I don't know half of the artists or any of the lyrics. And I don't even know if there are lyrics in many of the songs that happen at the club. So for that reason, I will be at home. I will be in my bed. I will have all my skincare done. I will have my retainers in. I will have my computer in front of me. I will be watching YouTube videos or I'll be scrolling on TikTok and I will be enjoying my bedroom by myself with my Falling Leaves candle from TJ Maxx, which is an incredible candle scent. I got it burning right now. And I will be completely content. And I don't have that FOMO anymore. And I think that's growth. Number 10, listen to me. Like, open your ears and listen to me. Put your damn shopping cart back. I cannot say this enough. It's 2024. If you can take the shopping cart out, use it in the store, you can put it back in the little aisle that it goes back in. Save someone's car from being dented and blown from it crashing into their car in the wind. Save the poor person having to go out in the cold and pull in your cart from the little ditch that's half sideways on the curb. Save someone the 10 seconds for them to get in a parking spot that is perfectly open, but they can't get into because there's a shopping cart in the inside of it. Just put your shopping cart back. Have some courtesy. Put yourself in everybody else's shoes. And escort that cart back to where you found it. Number 11 is treat people how they want to be treated. And I didn't say that incorrectly. I will say it again. Treat people how they want to be treated. Growing up, I know we were all told, treat others how you want to be treated. No. Because guess what? You're not the other person. You and the other person are not the same. So how do you know that they want to be treated the same way you want to be treated? Treat others the way that they want to be treated. Whether it aligns with you or not, it is their wishes. And if you want to communicate with them, meet them where they're at. And treat them how they want to be treated. Number 12 is explore your biases. There are different types of biases. There's implicit and explicit. The explicit ones are the ones that we are aware of. We recognize them. We can pinpoint them. We can verbalize them. We recognize them. On the other hand, are the implicit biases. Now, these ones are more difficult for us to pull out of our minds, but they come out in our actions, our words, verbiage, our language, our communication, and our thought patterns. And they're more difficult to pull out and dissect. But by sitting down and exploring your beliefs, your thoughts, doing research on different ideas, different cultures, different communities, different aspects, different viewpoints, it can give you a better understanding of the biases you hold and why you hold them, and allows you to assess them and figure out why do you have these? Where did they come from? Is it from your socialization, from your family, your environment? What systems and what institutions have led you to have these confounding beliefs and biases? And slowly break them down. Educate yourself, doing your own research, talking to other people. And having a broader scope of knowledge to guide your decisions of how you want your thought patterns to look and how you want to view and perceive others or other, it doesn't even have to be people. It can be really anything, people, places, things in the world. But understanding your biases and where they come from is extremely important for going through this world and navigating it and understanding there's so many different lenses people are looking at this world through, and it's not just our own. I love number 13. Number 13 is, drink your coffee how you like it. Because I know most people do not like their coffee black. And you may say you do. And unless I've seen you go to the nicest, fanciest cafe and get a black coffee, then I don't believe you. I know we like our milk, whether it's dairy, whether it's your oat milk, soy milk, coconut milk, whatever you're drinking, whether you like a splash of vanilla, a splash of caramel, you like that drizzle, you want that cold foam, you want blah, 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 I don't care. If you're going to enjoy something in your life, coffee is a big one for us. And we all like it in our own little snowflake of a way. And that is okay. You do not have to drink black coffee to show you're superior, because I don't think you're superior. I think you're trying to show off. Okay? Because I like my coffee. I like a latte. And I like my latte with honey. And I'm not going to sit there and get a black coffee and feel like I am so much better than everybody else. Because you know what? I would just be miserable. Could I drink a black coffee? Yeah, if there's nothing else available. But if there is, and I got a little extra cash in my pocket, I'm getting the good stuff in there. And that's life. Enjoy your coffee. You don't have to drink it black. People will not look down on you if you do not. And those who do drink it black, good for you. Sometimes I wish I was you, because it would save me an extra $3. Number 14 is that harm reduction saves lives. Let me say that again. Harm reduction saves lives. This analogy that my professor told me in undergrad during one of my classes is, it's about safe use sites. And for those who aren't familiar with safe injection sites, look them up. You can do your own research. There's one in Harlem. They have been doing incredible things for the community and for those in recovery from substance use disorders. And harm reduction is the model that all of the clinics I have worked at have used. And this is the analogy that my professor told me. Because people have this idea that safe injection sites is a place to just get free drugs. Very, very far from the truth. So let me explain it to you. Even if that were the case, if I were to say to you right now, they're giving out heroin down the street at this building. We've never done heroin before, but do you want to go do some? For the most part, people's answer will be no. And people have this idea that, oh, they put it in your mind, so yeah, let's go do it. No. Most people would say, I see that it's there, but I do not want it. But for those who do use it and are getting it from sources where they don't know what its contents truly are, this saves so many lives. If you are guaranteed the substance you are buying is the substance you expect it to be, those who use substances will be able to use in a safer manner, resulting in lower risk of overdoses and saving hundreds and thousands of lives a year. This is also why I'm such a big advocate for carrying Narcan and getting trained in how to give Narcan and save someone's life in the event that somebody has an overdose, and just becoming familiar with the different resources out there and psychoeducational classes and trainings that you can do to free of cost for most of the time. Why wouldn't you do it? You have the chance to save a life. Go after it. Carry Narcan. And end the addiction stigma. Number 15 is equal opportunity is a myth. Number 15 is equal opportunity is a myth. You've heard it before, this idea of the American dream, where it's advertised as living in a two-parent heterosexual household. It's a nuclear family. You have a good stability. Your parents have well-paying jobs with upward social mobility. There's a white picket fence. You're expected to go to college and guide yourself and do hard work in this world of capitalism and succeed. And the more you work, the more it'll pay off. And everybody has the ability to reach their highest aspiration and goals in their life. But this idea is a fallacy. It is not the reality that we live in. There are so many different confounding variables and factors that impact each and every person's ability to go through the world the same way. Differences in socioeconomic status, differences in opportunities and equality and equity. There's so many different factors that prevent those who need it the most from flourishing in this world. And understanding privilege and understanding the opportunities that you have differ from other people's is very important. Not everybody has the same resources to pursue their dreams. And sometimes no amount of hard work can lead somebody to reaching these goals. And understanding your privilege and breaking it down and recognizing your ability to come up with these dreams and pursue them and have these opportunities is so vital, because other people would love to be in your position. And just saying that hard work pays off, like everybody has equal opportunity. No, they don't. I wish everybody did. Everybody should. And hopefully one day we can. But it starts with advocacy. It starts with us. It starts with the people who can have their voice heard. Putting those people in power. And advocating advocacy, advocacy, advocacy. For those whose voices are muted and are quieted from society because they don't feel like their input is valuable, when all of our voices deserve to be heard, not just those in the highest power. Number 16, it's your life. No one else is going to live it but you. Okay? This is all of our first times being human. It's my first time, at least. I don't know about you guys, but this is my first time being alive. And I want to live it how I want to live it. Now, taking advice from friends and family and peers and people who matter to you in your life is obviously important. They're looking out for you. I oftentimes have this construct in my head where, well, they're not looking out for me. They're just trying to control me. No, they are looking out for you. Obviously, everybody has differing opinions, and if someone's going through something in life that someone else doesn't agree with, you can still pursue that avenue of what you want to do, whether it's getting back with somebody you shouldn't, or whether it's reconnecting with an old friend, or going back to this toxic job, or going back to school. But no, like, that's so expensive. Why would you do? There's so many different things, and you really just have to find your autonomy and recognize what's important for you to pursue and where is it important to gain feedback and judgment from a friend, from a trusted friend, that doesn't come off as judgment and it comes off as just a helping hand and guidance and support. So remember, it is your life. No one's going to live it but you. So I want you to do what you feel best despite what anybody else thinks. Because you have to be satisfied. You're the only one living in your body for the rest of your life. So you want to do what feeds your soul and what will benefit you. And then every now and then, yeah, get some feedback from friends. Like, that's what they're there for. But At the end of the day, you're living your life for you. Live it how you want to. Number 17 is reach out to loved ones. They will not always be there. Now, I know we all have that one family member where your mom's saying, can you give blah, blah, blah a call? They've been asking about you. And you're like, ugh, not them. I'm going to stay on the phone for like 2 hours just babbling and listening to them talk about themselves and blah, whatever. But one day, the phone line is going to be quiet and all you're going to be thinking is, I wish they would call right now. Life is not promised. Tomorrow's not promised. So take advantage of it. Call somebody you love. Tell them you love them. Catch up. Meet up for coffee. Hang out. Have a little date night with your friends or families. Reach out to them. Because one day you'll be wishing you did in the present moment today. So whenever you're listening to this, if it's at night, wait till the morning. You don't want to wake up your grandparents, but give them a call. Tomorrow's not always promised, and you want to take advantage of the opportunity now and share the love, tell them you love them, ask about their story, and just learn more about other people in the time that we have and we're given and we're so lucky to be alive during. Number 18 is loving yourself is not selfish. It is a necessity. Imagine going through life where you can't even be satisfied with yourself. That's not a quality of life I want to live. And it's taken a long ass time for me to get to this point where I can love myself and I can radically accept almost everything about myself. But you're living in your body for the rest of your life. And if you don't love the skin you are in, and that's not saying physically the skin you're in, but just being with yourself and with your thoughts, if you can't find comfort in that, how can you find comfort in other people or offer comfort to others? And I know that a lot of people who suffer with self-acceptance and self-love, we're constantly pouring out and pouring out from our filled cup to other people, and all of a sudden our cup is empty. So by ensuring that you're continually refilling the fuel for yourself and prioritizing yourself and your ability to just live in your skin and be satisfied and accepted for where you're at and take every stage with a grain of salt, it'll allow you to live a more fulfilling life and be able to provide what other people need. But you need to take care of yourself first. I know you guys may have heard this on an airplane when the flight attendant is going over safety protocols and they say, in the case of an emergency, oxygen masks are going to drop from the roof of the plane. And before you help anybody else, including your child, place an oxygen mask over yourself first before you can help somebody else. How can you expect yourself to help somebody else if you're not helping yourself first? If you're running out of air, how are you going to help somebody else? So take care of yourself, do what you need to do, and then you can externalize the assistance and help somebody else next to you. Number 19 is sometimes saying less is better. Talking and having a voice heard, yes, it's important, but sometimes, based on context, sometimes just being silent and letting something pass is the ideal scenario. And I'm going to leave this one at that. Number 20, be on time. Oh, I'm just always late. I don't know. I get just hard. Just wake up earlier. Start getting ready earlier. Plan your day in advance, set a schedule, be on time, and if you're not going to be on time, let somebody know, and if you're running late, just accept it, don't rush, and get in a car accident. Nobody wants that, but just be on time. There was a time set for a reason, Just please be on time. Number 21. If you put someone on a pedestal, you give them no option but to look down on you. Now, I am guilty of this. I have put many people on a pedestal, and I never really thought of this analogy. I kind of like put them on a pedestal. I'm like, oh my gosh, I love everything about them. They're incredible. I look up to them. Oh my gosh, they're so perfect. But if you visualize it in your head, I invite you to close your eyes and think about this, because if they're above you on a pedestal, they're gonna look down on you. And why do you want somebody that you're idolizing to look down on you? You're idolizing them. You want to be eye to eye. You want to be at a level playing field. You don't want to feel like you're being put down by someone you look up to. Why would you want to be like them then? Because you don't want to look down to others just because you get to a certain status or position or just reality, you know? So don't put someone on a pedestal. You can look up to somebody, you can idolize them, but you don't want that power dynamic. You want to preserve the equity in that, and you want to say, hey, I like this about that person. I aspire to have these similarities, and go from there. But don't put them on a pedestal. Visualize it in your head. They're going to be looking down on you. So no more pedestal. Number 22 is just apologize. I know some people are like, oh, I'm not going to say sorry. I didn't do anything wrong. Okay. But let's preserve the peace. Even if it's the smallest little thing. If it's so small of a thing, it won't matter in an hour. Just apologize and move on. Preserve the peace. Maintain your friendships. And if it makes somebody happy and you'll know that this will all pass and get fizzled out, then a small apology for something minute, just apologize. It'll just be so much better in the long run. And number 23 is ranch does not belong on pizza. I'm sorry to everybody who does not agree with me, because I can handle pineapple on a pizza, but there's sauce, there's cheese. Why is the ranch? Leave that for the salad. And pizza is absolutely fine as it is. Now, I could keep going for a long, long time, but I will stop there at the 23 things that I've learned throughout my 23 years. And I hope that maybe you related to me in some places, or if not, learned something. And if you disagree on any of these things, that's okay. That is what makes us all beautiful snowflakes. But on a real note, life throws challenges, and how you respond to them can teach you so much. And these are some of the things that I've learned throughout challenges and the positive parts of life and the more challenging parts of life. But all of that just makes life. Life is full of ups and downs. You never know. It's unpredictable. So take every day as a brand new start, if that's how you have to look at it, or a continuation of the best experience you've ever been offered. And remember, we're all being human for the first time. None of us have ever done this before. So give yourself a pat on the back. You've made it this far. And We have so much more to offer. I'm only in my 23rd year of life. Hopefully I see many, 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 many more. And I cannot wait to share other things that I've learned throughout my next many, many years. So on that note, I will talk to you guys later. And have an amazing day, night, or whatever time it is you're listening to this. Bye!